Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's got him loaded now. Runners go and a swing and a shot. And it's in the left field. Goes under the glove of Nunez. This will bring in two runs. 2-0 Houston.
Brady's in trouble. He's hitting. The ball's out. And it's going to be recovered by Bailey in Kansas City.
What are we doing?
The Patriots commit their first turnover.
It's the worst play by Brady in a long time.
Two on with one away. He's on the first pitch. Down the right field line. Down by the pesky pole. And it is gone. Three-run home run knockout punch for the Astros.
Snap to Mahomes. Play fake and a deep drop. Pressure by Claiborne. Moves up. Fires deep downfield. And Hill is wide open. Leaps to make the catch at the 35. Runs left past Harmon. Down the left sideline. 10-5. Gone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that happens, you know. Get out there. Sometimes you're battling yourself, and that was definitely the case.
This game was over as soon as the last out was made, so we're, got to flush this one, get ready for tomorrow. That's the only thing.
It's just one game. Just got to come out tomorrow and continue to play, compete.
Brady under center, gives it to Michelle, runs it through the left side, plowing his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
That's the way you capitalize off a defensive turnover. Got to run a game down in there. I like that.
And then a swing and a liner in the right field. A base hit. In the score is Betts. It's an RBI. And the Red Sox have the lead. 1-0 in the first inning.
Brady takes the head high snap against the three-man rush. He lobs a throw left for Edelman, who's open and backpedals to make the catch in the left side of the end zone for a Patriots touchdown.
That's the way you put it in that spot right there, Mahomes.
Two Devers into left field, a base hit. Benintendi scores the run, 2-0.
Mahomes drops back, fires down the middle, picked off by Hightower. Hagman right to the 25-20. Hightower to the 15-10. Hurdles the quarterback, and he's dropped inside the 5.
This place is hit up now.
Right center, it's down. Devers will score with an RBI double. Here's Mookie Betts.
Gives it to Michelle, runs it to the right side. In for a second touchdown of the night as the Patriots expand their lead.
Quarterback is fired up, man.
The chance of MVP rating down on him before that pitch.
You know, we had control, and then we let him back in the game with some, you know, the fumble was a bad play. But, you know, they were making plays on offense. We were making plays. We talked about competing for 60 minutes, and yeah, that's what it took.
3:50 to go. The four-minute offense from the offset eye. Brady fakes to Michelle. Throws down the middle. Gronk is wide open at the 30. Throws one off to the 40. Gronk to the 45. Oh.
Play call by McDaniels. My God.
In the air, left field. That is slicing. Down in the corner, and it is off the wall. Two runs are in. And Devers is going to score. It's a three-run double. Jackie Bradley Jr. Boston on top.
Brady, who takes the snap, backs up, fires. No, he pumps. And he's here. He moves up. He's going to run. He dives into the end zone. A touchdown for the Patriots. Gostkowski from the 18-yard line. The 28-yard attempt for the win. Tied at 40. Turns toward Gostkowski. Now to Cardona. The snap and play. Swing the right leg. Kick left into the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And the Patriots prevail. 43-40.
What a night.
Five sports number Toucher and Rich, pretty much a must-win situation. Going into last night's game, David Price almost pitched five innings, so congratulations to him.
hey, he wasn't a total disaster. He wasn't good, but he wasn't a...
No, I mean, he managed to get through...
An abyss of suck.
Get through 4 2/3 with only giving up 4 runs. So, yeah. I mean, you got to hand it to the guy. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, Bill, what's up, man? What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, I'm asking, I want you guys to talk about whether or not the day of the umpire calls on balls and strikes behind home plate has come and gone.
I've never had a problem with you getting like a little robot strike zone. To me, I don't care. I mean, if whatever keeps it accurate, I don't care in the least. All I know is that Country Joe West once again had to make it all about him, where he did the whole thing where he inspected the glove in the middle of the game, yeah. and we never got any kind of explanation as to what was going on. Obviously, he's looking for some sort of substance, but... I just the fact that you knew he was going to do something like that, and I found such joy in my heart when he got pegged with that ball in game one. That was just phenomenal.
Every time someone calls me fat, and then I see Country Joe West, I get very depressed.
Right? You say, how could you use the same adjective?
Right,
like him and me.
Right, like I mean, the man outweighs me by at least 100 pounds.
Like the word starts to lose power when you just use a paintbrush on all sorts of different people.
See, and it's maddening.
He could not get out of the way of a throw that he had ample time to see coming at him.
Oh, yeah, it was the best.
He just so took it off the collarbone. He's just like, I can't get out of the way. Gonna stand here.
Well, he showed his toughness. Country Joe West.
How old are you, son? He said, I'm 14.
Yeah, I mean, and then you had, of course, Alex Cora getting ejected in game one, which seems a little ridiculous to pull that trigger during a playoff
game. The home plate umpire was having a horrible night and compounded it by tossing Cora. And the first thing I thought of was, this guy's going to be behind the plate for a game 7, too. So you're going to see this guy again.
Yeah. And they got to Cole a little bit before he settled down. And so they were able to mitigate the problems. And then you have your boy over there, Kimbrel, who is completely spooked.
Right, two feet from blowing that game.
Twice. Dude, it was ridiculous. Two games in a row.
Once in game four against the Yankees, Gary Sanchez hit a warning track fly ball that would have been a grand slam. And last night, Alex Bregman put Andrew Benintendi up against the left field wall, representing the tying run to make the last out.
Yeah, he's no good. I mean, this is a problem that's not going away this playoff. Search one?
Yeah, search one. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Hey, how about that kick by Steven Gostkowski, whatever his name is last night, right? Split in the uprights. It was like a nice hot dog sliced. Okay. The only thing that could have ruined that was the voice of Sarge.
Okay, all right. You got to be a little more clever in your build-ups.
Yeah, that one I actually saw coming. Yeah,
that one was like a belly
even
flop.
Even I got that one. Yeah.
Right. Because he threw in the hot dog. He just got straight Sarge.
He got straight to it. Yeah.
But if I am a Red Sox fan, I'm not enamored with Price, even though the bar for him is so incredibly low.
Are you kidding me? You got to feel great right now, because think about it.
I don't feel good at all.
Well, first of all, Price was, it could have been worse. The bullpen outside of Kimbrel has been phenomenal.
No. The bar for Price is so low that runs in 4 2/3 is good.
Which is, by the way, not okay.
It's not okay, but you got more than you expected out of him. So that's, you're happy about that.
That's
the bullpen's
it.
Great. Kimbrel has been shaky for months, so you knew what you were going to get with him. But the amount of disappointment as opposed to surprisingly, hey, this has worked out better than I thought, is definitely leaning towards the positive.
In order to get this done, like we talked about before the series started, the Red Sox have to get starters in the game on their throw day to pitch an inning of relief in the eighth inning.
I still think that you're underestimating Barnes.
Barnes is perfect where he is now. He's perfect where he is. He will not pitch the eighth inning of a playoff game.
Well, so far that has stood to be true.
It's not going to happen. Cora has found a role for him. Barnes a good pitcher.
And Kelly
in
didn't
the
suck.
Right situation.
Kelly didn't suck.
And Kelly has been good when called upon. for the most part.
But I mean, you were a lucky bounce. I mean, there was a lucky bounce that basically won that game.
That ball doesn't wind up on the railing down the left, or the little padded area down the left field line. That runner doesn't score. Runner doesn't score.
And I still don't think that these teams are evenly matched. I think Houston is by far the superior.
Yeah, Houston has a better bullpen. They have a better starting rotation, and their offense is top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, they're stacked. They're the defending champions for a reason. I thought Houston would win this series in six. So, let's see. It's one game apiece.
I mean, David Price getting applauded, leaving the field.
four runs in four and two-thirds.
And by the way, David Price, like, I mean, because you almost kind of wonder if it was mocking or I think it was more like relief.
I think that people said,
oh, thank God you didn't just blow it in the first.
Thank God they didn't use you for batting practice in the first 2 innings.
I think that they said, oh, okay, like, what was it, tied when he, or were they up?
He was ahead. He was ahead 5-4 when they
He was ahead in the end. They said, hey, look, we have a lead.
Hey, congratulations.
And we're not worried about Chris Sale going to the doctor, right? Because we all agree it's the Rhea.
All I know is that when you're rich and an athlete, you get to go to the doctor for everything.
Yeah, he spent the night at MGH. He said it was a stomach issue, and I'm with Fred. I believe this is just rich guy Rhea.
Yeah, this is just if you have diarrhea and you're an athlete, they put you in the hospital. And then you probably don't have to move a muscle. Bedpans and everything, every other luxury known to man. Probably got a big bouquet of flowers. But no, I don't look at that game as being. I like the middle. You're getting way more from middle relief than you thought you were, and that's a huge plus. David Price pitched like crap, and Kimbrel's very scary. And I like and Betts is the best player in baseball, and he's playing that way in this series. So God bless
him. Well, it took him a while.
Well, I mean,
game one hits, you know, hits to lead off the game to set the tone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for this.
Yeah,
I mean,
and you knew it was going to. That's the other thing is that you knew that Betts was going to finally become Mookie Betts,
and you never play Kinsler again in any kind of situation.
Oh man, that last strikeout! I don't know what that was.
We actually have Chris Sale being asked about his situation.
I'm sick. Well, I had a lot of diarrhea. That's what you want to know?
Your manager said you were sick.
Yeah, I had a diarrhea.
No. It tore away my
arm. Yeah, I had a diarrhea and then... Why? Why is it funny?
No.
I mean... Save it. Yeah, the off day, I had a lot of diarrhea.
And that gets you in the hospital. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A three-run lead for the Red Sox. And the 1-0 to Altuve is a drive into left field. That's got a chance. It is off the wall in the score springer. Altuve will hold at first. It's an RBI single, and it will bring the tying run to the plate. And the last guy Craig Kimbrel wants to face.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That is Craig Kimbrel again. Heart attack save, like he always seems to do. Kevin McNamara is from the Providence Journal. He has joined us before. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
No problem. How are you guys?
We are well. Now, Mr. John Walgame and I have been talking about the use of Barnes. John believes that Cora doesn't trust him enough to put him in an eighth inning situation. Do you believe that to be the case?
Well, I think the real issue is the starters. You know, if you told me the Red Sox were going to be tied 1-1 going to Houston with neither Sale or Price catching the sixth inning, I'd say it's not going to happen. And, you know, basically with both of those guys not getting the job done early, it's turned the bullpen upside down. You know, I think Cora's realized that he has to use Barnes in high leverage situations, and it's happened much earlier than planned.
Do you think if those high leverage situations came up in the eighth inning, he would go to Barnes or a starter?
I think Barnes. I think if Barnes
really?
Had not... I think if he had not been, you know, touched, you know, throughout a game, I think he probably would. And I think we'll see that one time. Well, hopefully, if a starter can actually pitch into the sixth inning, we'll probably see that, you know, in Houston.
So John's wrong. Now,
sorry, John.
That's all right, Kevin. You're wrong too. That's fine.
Do you think? Do you think that the applause for David Price were not sarcastic yesterday, or should we be pleased with the performance of David Price last night?
No and no. I think there was definitely a lot of sarcasm in some of the applause. I think people almost—I wouldn't say pity applause, but it was pretty close. And no, we should not be pleased. You know, I mean, he was only another knock or two away from leaving in in the third inning. I mean, no question about it. He was on serious, thin ice, really right out of the chute. Really, the guy who kind of messed up that game was Gerrit Cole. You know, Gerrit Cole, for him to be in so much trouble right away and then get knocked around by, Jackie Bradley, with a three-run double in the third inning, Gerrit Cole breezed through the Cleveland Indians just a week ago. I mean, like a joke, no problem at all. Struck out 10 guys, totally cruised. And obviously the Red Sox did an excellent job in roughing him up early and often.
Yeah, and you know what, too, is that, we've been looking a lot at, David Price, obviously, because we all feared the worst. But, I mean, we haven't talked enough about Chris Sale and what he did during Game 1, because I think it might have been the ALDS that gave everyone a little bit of false security about, oh, okay, Chris Sale is back. He's obviously got some bullets in the chamber. But then, I mean, that second inning, first of all, his velocity was down. He had no control of his ball. He hits a guy, walks two in that second inning. How concerned should we be? And now he's got the RIA and he's going to the hospital. At least we suspect that it's just a bad case of diarrhea. How concerned should we be about Chris Sale after what you saw in Game 1?
I thought that's an excellent point, because I think against the Yankees he wasn't good either. I mean, really, the weakness of this ball team, now obviously they did a great job last night and you got to give them credit, is the bullpen. And they cannot keep going to this bullpen in the fourth and fifth inning when you have Chris Sale and David Price, as starters. It just can't happen. It's just tempting fate too much. They've been able to survive, and again, to be able to go to Houston 1-1, I think they're very, very fortunate. But Sale against the Yankees, expose the bullpen and they lose the game, and Sale, in Game 1, same thing, just didn't go far enough. They have to go deeper into the game because, good for Ryan Brazier, good for Barnes. They've settled down after that, really rocky first game against the Yankees here in the playoffs. But I just think it's tempting fate too much.
Okay, so now, because Rick Porcello pitched out of the bullpen last night, you have Nathan Eovaldi pitching Game 3 tomorrow night. And obviously he was dominant. He was great against the Yankees. Should we expect somewhat of a similar performance against Houston?
Well, I think we can expect someone to reach the sixth inning. That shouldn't be asking a lot for a starter. And if you tell me that he can get into the sixth inning, all hands on deck. We shouldn't see Price or Sale, but everyone else is ready to go, with the exception of Porcello. I give Porcello an awful lot of credit. That's not easy to do. These baseball players, baseball pitchers, are creatures of habit. Every fifth day, blah, blah, blah. And, he's been able to turn things upside down and really come through twice now by coming out of the bullpen and then a couple days later making a really good start.
All right, do you think Kinsler plays again? Barring something catastrophic,
he can't.
It's interesting, guys. Coming into the playoffs, everyone told me, well, Kinsler needs to play because of his defense, and Nunez, he needs to play because of his defense.
Right.
Okay, well, Nunez, he's no Brooks Robinson, okay? He's more like a Butch Hobson. Right. And Kinsler, I can't get over how bad he was at the plate, the last two nights. I mean, really, really bad at bats. So, then again, Brock Holt was horrendous in Game 1 as well at the plate. I think defensively, Kinsler is still there. The guy I don't want to see again is Nunez. I mean, I think that should be cemented at this stage.
Yeah. I mean, Kinsler last night didn't look like he had a chance at any point.
See, it's going to be tough because you have the lefty pitching game three.
I don't care.
If you put both Devers and Holt out there.
I don't care.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you guys make sense. I mean, Kinsler really shouldn't have another at-bat in this series, but the way Cora plays things, I bet you he does.
All right. Well, I mean, it's one thing if you're, you know, if you're going lefty-righty, and it's another thing if you're can't hit.
Tends to be a problem.
Regardless of situation. Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin McNamara, I love the idea that you and I are right on the same page, and John is an idiot. So for that, I thank you. We appreciate your time.
Well, let's see a real game where a starter leaves in the sixth inning and they go Brazier, Barnes, and Kimbrel. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but that is the way Cora wants to play. But strange things have happened so far in the playoffs for the Red Sox, that's for sure.
All right. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys.
All right. Yeah. There you go. How you feel? Feeling pretty bad?
Not really, no. I'm okay.
McNamara been at it a while.
He has been at it a while. But he covers Providence College basketball, too. So it's not really...
Well, listen, that's not exactly...
Pressed into service.
That's not exactly Brian, but I
understand. I understand. nor can it be.
When's the first Brian game?
November 6th, whatever Tuesday that is, at URI.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Can we quickly just discuss...
Yes.
We got an email, a group email on Friday that said congratulations to Sean Grandy, who is now engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Dana Jacobson from ESPN.
Yep.
When the hell did that happen?
And how does that work?
What?
I don't know the logistics of it.
No, not personally. I'm talking about just in terms of where you live.
Well,
like, yeah. Regionally.
Because she's on CBS this morning now. Like, she's at the desk.
Right, so she can't, like, commute from Boston.
What was kind of funny was I saw that. I'm like, hang on, Dana Jacobson? And I went and I had to Google to make sure it's the right person, right, Dana? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's her. And so I texted Wallach, and I'm like, did you know Sean Grandy, our Sean Grandy, was dating Dana Jacobson? And he's like, yeah, he's been doing it.
No,
for a while.
It wasn't like a know-it-all.
Oh, he's like, yeah. It was not that.
We've been on some dumb dates.
Yes, it was.
Oh, stop it. It was not.
Oh, and then he kicked the jukebox and it started playing
right.
A song.
Like, we've been some dumb dates. So what's going to happen is Grandy's going to have to move to Manhattan and take trains in for the games.
Which would make you very excited, right?
Well, in case the Acela breaks down.
No. I mean, just in case he goes and ends up getting a gig in New York.
He could get the national job.
But there's Cool Wallach. Yeah, I do the whole thing.
What are you, squares? Yeah, you're not down.
Yeah. How did you not know that? Everybody knew that.
So Grandy's going to have to live in New York. I don't envy that commute.
You think that's what he's going to end up doing?
Absolutely.
I don't. I don't think that's
okay. So he's engaged to a woman who literally has to live in New York.
Yes,
and he does not.
I don't know how it's.
There's
going
someone
to
else.
Work.
I'm not supposed to say who it is, but there's someone else we know that doesn't live in the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can be done. That's a.
Well, it is done.
It's a 3.5-hour train ride.
Yep.
Every game.
I mean, I'm sure he'll keep a place here for, like, back-to-back.
Good for Grandy.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought he was just a weird dude who just, like went
collected
to the game.
Baseball cards and liked wrestling?
Right, and just, like, got home, sat nude in a corner and stared at the TV with the fuzz on it.
Yeah, he, like, doesn't have a driver's license. Like, there's all this weird stuff about him.
Right, like, maybe he had, like, some pewter figurines that he would work on every once in a while.
The magnifying glass.
And then that would be it. And then it was an alarm would go off and go,
I don't know.
Is Lucky the Leprechaun alarm go, game time. And he would leave and then come back home and then take off all his clothes, sit naked in the corner and stare at the TV with a fuzz on it again.
I see. Well, he's going to be commuting from the old Big Apple.
I guess
so. That much. I can tell you that much. All right, we will return. We have some things we can talk a little bit about what's going on around the NFL. Many things to talk about. Here are the headlines.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Around. You play to win the game.
The NFL.
Oh, raise his hands.
In 15 minutes, give or take.
Cards, show ponies, where's the beat?
It's going to take us a while to ease into this, but Around the NFL is brought to you by Leonard Hair. Schedule your free consultation with the hair doctors of former NFL players Wes Welker, Rob Ninkovich, Sebastian Vollmer, and Chris Gronkowski. Call Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Dr. Robert Leonard at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Maybe I put the copy a little closer to my face next time. Steven, go ahead, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to make sure Wallach didn't let his head or the gap between his teeth get too big. thinking he was going to be calling Celtics games full time, seeing as Grandy and Cedric Maxwell just signed a 5-year extension, you know, about a month ago.
No, I'm well aware of that. That's pretty obvious. They signed a 5-year extension.
So, Wallach, just sit down, relax. You're not going anywhere. You'll call your 1 to 2 games a year when Grandy takes a day off or goes to New York to be with his new fiance, and you know, just take it and use it for what it is. You're not getting anything else.
I should give up now?
Just give up. You know, 5 years. You're going to be dead in 5 years anyway.
Oh, that's true. Why don't you go work construction? How would Sarge finish this?
Hey, you know,
Why are you calling the judge?
Yeah. You call for your mother's basement now, are you?
No, but in all seriousness, this is probably good news for you in a way, because if he gets married and has a... I mean, he's obviously going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine it couldn't be... after the NBA season.
Sure will. He'll wait till then. Yeah. He'll get married as soon as the season's over. I guarantee you they've already planned that.
Makes sense.
Well, that could be almost a calendar year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's in the summer. Get married in the summer.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Engagements tend to last that long.
Aren't they usually married a year? In January.
It's usually a year.
And then there's a honeymoon.
Yep.
Yeah, engagements are they usually about a year long.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it was.
Honeymoon after the marriage and honeymoon after the season's over. That makes sense.
You know, July, you know, that's a lot of people travel then.
Yep.
You could have a wedding in July.
Are you going to be invited to the wedding, do you think?
I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, you know, it's going to be some weird thing where no one's there. Like Grandy's not going to have one. I don't know him at all, but he just seems weird. Like, you know, there's going to be like no groomsmen. It's going to be in just one of the guys. He has like a cricket and like a lizard.
This is great. This is great. I just a listener just sent me this article from People Magazine, and it says CBS This Morning, Saturday co-host Dana Jacobson is engaged. And it's got a picture of Dana Jacobson and Sean Grandy. And it says Dana Jacobson is founder's soulmate. The CBS This Morning Saturday co-host is engaged. She confirmed on the morning show Thursday. I just heard Dana Jacobson got engaged, said morning co-host Gail King at the anchor desk. I did, and Elena Jacobson shared. It's a beautiful ring. Jacobson also noted her proposal was perfect, magical, adding, I am a very lucky lady. Nowhere in the article does it mention the name Sean Grandy.
Really?
Nope. Just like, it's a guy. Poor Sean.
He's not one of these Hollywood hotshots.
Poor Sean.
Well, listen, he's marrying a very successful, very lovely woman.
He is. I thought about you a lot this weekend, Fred, as I always do, but more so than usual, because I had to do something that I don't think I've ever done. If I have, I definitely haven't done it to this level or this capacity, and that is host an auction for a benefit, for like a gala. Now, you had told me a story about how for your school one time, due to your hosting of an auction, you almost had somebody pick a fight with you to the point where there was crying afterwards.
Yeah, it was
amongst parties involved.
It was quite a gala in that it was in my daughter's preschool.
It was over a birdhouse.
We were auctioning birdhouse.
That's right.
However,
it was one of the strangest moments of my existence.
Yes, but you insulted one of the birdhouses.
I said I was under the impression that everyone would realize we were not auctioning off Picassos. We were auctioning off stupid birdhouses that dumb little kids had drawn over. I mean, like, and then the guy was staring at me. He goes, you do not, I'll give you $350 to shut the F up. You question my, and then afterwards he's like, you question my structural
integrity
of my birdhouses.
I want a shirt that says that.
It was one of the strangest moments of my life. But no, it was no gala, I can tell you that.
But it got intense, all right? And that was just, and it made me even a little more nervous because I was asked to, Lenny Clark, there was a reason he couldn't do it, but Lenny Clark for years has hosted the auction at this thing called the Storybook Ball for Mass General and their children's, you know, for the PDA, whatever, for the kids. And it was. This thing, to say it's a gala is like a disrespect and an understatement to the galas. I've never seen anything like this before. Apparently, the people who put it together are the same people who decorate the White House.
Oh, man.
I mean,
no
you
pressure there stepping out on the stage.
And it was just, wow. I mean, it was a 101 Dalmatians, I think, was the theme. And it was just like, oh,
polka dots everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. I mean,
were there famous people?
Yes. And it looked amazing. Like,
who was the most famous person there?
Well, I know that, well, John Henry usually goes like every year. Like, the owners of a lot of the teams go to this. Right. And, you're like, you know, Herb Chambers and like all these people, like, you know, from around here who, you know, like to donate to the thing. So this was something that just like 5 days ago I was told that I was asked if I could host it, and I was like, sure. I had no idea what I was doing. They sent me all this stuff, and so my whole angle of the evening was going to be that I was going to go up on stage and I was going to make a joke like, hey, if you give a lot of money and you do it quick, we're all going to go to the other room where the Red Sox game is on, and you could all watch the Sox game. You know, I'm thinking, all right, there's a ton of people in here. Obviously, you know, the people associated with the Red Sox, because John Henry's a big donor, and, you know, this is a big sports crowd. So I got my whole thing all set up and ready to go. That's literally my angle. That's my big joke and the thing I'm going to sell it all on. And about 20 minutes before I have to go on stage, I go to the restroom. The dinner's still going on, And I get there, and there's five people in line. There's four guys and there's one woman, and they're all looking at their phone. And I go, oh, hey, what's the score of the Red Sox game? And they look at me and go, they're playing tonight? And I immediately realize I'm dealing with a new level of people, and everything I say that was going to be sports related.
Yeah, they were checking like the Japanese markets.
There goes all my Brian Scalabrine jokes. There goes everything I had to say about John Lackey's mouth. All these like things that I had set up and I thought that was going to be very sports centric were just going to be a disaster. So it was one of those situations. So I finally get up on stage and they asked me to go up there. And once again, as I said, it is an enormous crowd that's in front of me. And I can only see one person, and it's Herb Chambers. So half my jokes were, like, I just started talking about Herb Chambers. Like, I got nervous, and I was like, yeah,
did
you know.
Did you drink before?
No. I had, like, a beer. I mean,
because
right.
There's a nice.
Yeah.
From when I have to publicly speak, there's always a nice line.
Right.
That if you're on the line, you're doing okay.
Yeah. And so I got up there, and I could see Herb Chambers' face, so I just kind of freaked out and started kind of leaning on him, and I'm like, well, at least we're not all here tonight when David Price is pitching, because then we'd be also stressed out that Herb Chambers might pick me up and throw me in the Charles. And it was one of those situations where I know I had bombed, so I thought if I added on, it would make it better, and I would be able to get myself on the
You're tagging on to the... Yeah.
To the failure?
Yeah, to the failure.
And I said, you know, he would do that, too. And then I know I went, Herb Chambers, smash!
Oh, that's the worst. Man. Oh, man.
Okay. And I can't even hear really what's going on because the crowd's so big, and I can just see and kind of, you know, in front of me. And I'm kind of like, you know, and so finally, they bring up a professional auctioneer. I was kind of the one to warm him up. So the perfection, and by the way, at least Herb Chambers is cool about the whole, I mean, like, he was laughing. He thought it was funny. I'm like, cool. All right, great. There's one guy who seems to like it. So this professional auctioneer came up there, and when he started talking, I just started riffing behind him, and at one point I made a joke about he's going to walk in like Conor McGregor, and I did the arms, and it was. No one knows who Conor McGregor is.
Oh,
like, I just can't. I'm swinging and missing, and then at one point, like, there was this amazing. I mean, the prizes were just utterly ridiculously amazing. I mean, it was like a trip to Italy, and you're meeting all these designers and all these people's names who I can't pronounce, and it was going for a lot of money. And I said. Just because I felt I had to say something, I'm like, hey, all right, we're going to sweeten the pot. I have in my pocket a Subway Sub Club loyalty rewards card.
That's a nice joke.
And I said, four more footlongs, and you're getting yourself a free 6-inch.
Oh, that's not bad.
that was a good joke.
That was a good joke. That's good.
And so that was all over. And finally, it was all done and over. And I got off stage. I'm like, all right, fine. I don't get really nervous at these things, but right. I still had your birdhouse thing in the back of my head.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to insult anyone because everyone's like really nice. They're giving like a lot of money. I didn't want to blow it. So I go off stage. And the good news was that at least like apparently they told me that in the back of the room, There was a one or two people that were laughing. It was just because I couldn't hear what was going on or see anything. I guess it went over okay, but I was just in my head, I was bombing so horribly. And I don't know if anyone was there, but all I know is that I don't know if people were just being nice to me afterwards, but it was a freak out, a borderline freak out moment.
Well, at least you weren't soundly booed like I was at the Chip Chipperson contest.
I will say I was not booed. Well, I will go that much.
That audience, they cheer you and then they boo you.
And by the way, thanks to all the people who went, because I mean, they raised $2 million at this deal. So congratulations to MGH and everyone who put it together. It was amazing. I had no business being in a place this nice. Like I felt like a hick in this crowd.
How big? Are we talking 500 people?
No. Like I think it was like 2,000 maybe.
Whoa.
I mean, dude, it was a big room.
Wow.
Dude, they raised $2 million.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. Good for you.
Well, listen, it's over now. And you can go on with your life. All right. We will be back. We're going to talk to Bob Soucy at 9. Gary Goldman, our friend, coming in at 9:20.
Jerry Rabish.
All right. Turn off. No. Please, off. Cut it off. I can't take it.
Sports
Thank
up.
You.
Let's go to...
Ooh, Blind Melon. It's like my skin's on fire.
John, go ahead.
Listen to me, guys. This guy has crapped his pants in every big spot he's ever had in his life. I hate his ugly face. I hate that stupid, wacky voice. I hate that he walks around this town like he's done something with his life when he's done nothing. This is the worst contract in Boston history.
Whose contract is that?
That would be Sarge.
That was pretty good. That one was pretty good. I saw it from the get-go, but I like your form. But don't do that anymore. That's not nice.
No, it certainly is not.
No, without a doubt.
Mm-mm. All right. We are waiting for Bob Soucy. There is a documentary crew that is here to do a documentary on Gary Goldman, local boy done well.
True story. He might be my mom's new favorite comedian. And I don't know. It's not like not the coolest thing to say.
Well, he's Jewish.
My mom is Italian. I'm not Jewish.
No, but he's Jewish, and your mother's very, very Catholic.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. I was wondering if she liked the comedy.
Is it not allowed? She's not anti-Semitic.
I didn't say that. I said...
She's a Catholic.
I said, isn't there like a religious
Yes,
comment?
All Catholics must
There's
hate
a wall
Jewish
you
people,
don't scale.
I didn't say hate. I said as a favorite comedian.
I mean, she likes Seinfeld. I don't know. Where are we going with this?
My wife
rules of comedy are very strict.
Ray Romano, everybody loves Raymond.
Ray Romano is... you're assuming he's Jewish because he's very Catholic.
I know. She likes all races. Races, religions. I can't even. That she loves Gary Goldman. Like I played her that that famous bit that he did about the people who made the abbreviations for the states. From that, she went down a rabbit hole. She loves Gary Goldman.
She could figure out how to see the videos.
Oh yeah. She's all right on the computer.
Oh, see that you might as well be asking for Chinese arithmetic with my parents.
Oh yeah. If it's Facebook, especially Facebook. If it's Facebook or YouTube, she's all right with that. She's got it.
She's on the book.
Oh, she. Sometimes I wish she wasn't.
Oh yeah.
A lot of memes.
Oh, they're funny. The world needs more of those.
I talk to her about the meme sometimes. I'm just like, you know, I might just want to Google the truth in that one.
Yeah.
Simple, actually.
There's a lot of dots and different things. All right, Bob Soucy is going to join us. No commercials here, just the headlines.